All right, you're back in the DFSR here with our MLB podcast for Friday, April 27th. I'm Doug Norrie. That is
James Davis
from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, DFSR.com for short. DFSR.com/MLB gets you that free 3-day trial of our projection system, which informs a lot of what we're going to talk about today on this podcast and every other podcast that we do. It's free for 3 days and then just $29.95 a month after. Optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings. All kinds of options there too. Stacking, limiting, variants, all the stuff that you need to get yourself started to put together cash and GPP lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings. MLB, NBA, while the time still lasts. Football, when it comes around, we cover it all under one subscription package. Free for 3 days and then just $29.95 a month. You're all good to go. Buddy, we spent about 15 minutes talking about big car seat off the air here.
Don't get me started. I already finally calmed down. I was ready to do the podcast and you're just going to dredge it all back up.
Yeah, we just complain a lot about how the car seat laws are totally ridiculous, which we know is probably an unpopular opinion because it seems like you're keeping yourself safe. But if there's a bigger scam in America than car seats, you can text me or message me off the air, and I'd love to
find out. I'll post Doug's text message after the post goes up. I'll put your text number, your cell phone number in the show notes for people to send you a text.
Yeah, feel free to just text me if you have car seat law issues
or just DFS related questions. Feel free. Like if Doug's not in the chat, you can always text him. We'll get that information out there as soon as we can.
All right. Big Friday in baseball today. A lot of good pitching coming off a day with some weirdness. Dylan Bundy gets rocked. Unfortunately, I ran Ben Lively in cash on DraftKings early. That was a big old minus 14 or something like that by the time he was finally pulled. Such is the life of baseball. Some days were the Lively thing could be. We could debate that one way or the other. The Bundy thing, kind of a chalky play, gets rocked. It does happen in baseball. But we are coming off a couple of days where, Kershaw pitches his worst game of the year. Kershaw might have pitched his worst game of the last 4 years or something like that for him. He had
six walks.
Yeah, he had three total walks going into the game, in 33 innings or something like that, and walked six. Sometimes I wonder if that's a sign of injury or something like that. Or he wasn't really getting squeezed too, because I watched a part of that game, and so it wasn't like he was in and around. Yeah. It wasn't like he was getting some borderline calls against them. He was just missing bats. He was going 3-2 with every single guy. And then Sale yesterday has similar issues. Has trouble get two strikes on most guys. And just can't simply put them away. And really, actually, probably got lucky that it wasn't worse for him, because he was just living around the strike zone in a way that guys were just putting the bats on the balls. I was looking through some pitcher numbers here. There are some studs. We'll talk about them today. There's really very few guys I've noticed, at least in I would call it in the stud elite category, who are even maintaining their previous years. We're seeing not dramatic K differences, but we'll talk about each of these guys, but I'm noticing that the K numbers for a lot of the guys that we talked about as just elite arms every day they were out there are just not posting the same kind of strikeout numbers. I'm going to spend part of today looking and see if this is a league-wide issue, but are you feeling this way, or is it just maybe my eyes playing tricks on me, or are we just maybe seeing a dramatic, or are we seeing maybe just a reduction in Ks among the elite arms?
Yeah, I haven't looked at that actually to make any big declaration as far as how the elite arms are doing this year overall. I will say, DeGrom's Ks are up this year. Kluber's Ks are down. They're down considerably. Strasburg's are down a little bit. I don't know. It seems very early to make a case like that. Although I will say that, we're still in a huge strikeout period. So it stands to reason that these things kind of come and go. People learn the techniques, or, batters adjust, or, there's an ebb and flow to offense and pitching in baseball. So it wouldn't shock me if we enter into a period with slightly fewer strikeouts overall. That seems like a reasonable guess.
Well, let's talk about Kluber then, because Kluber, I was going to lead off with him as maybe the possible cash game play going into today. He's coming in as a higher money line favorite, 240, by far the biggest of the day. There are some other guys with nice money lines, but he's clearly the guy that, he's really the only one with a over, minus 200 or better. His numbers are down this year. Now, you can make the case his numbers were just way up last year, right? So if you look at his previous 3 years, he was 9.5 Ks, right around 10 Ks. Last year spiked it to 11.7 and is now just back down to 9. So, if you're striking out a batter an inning and limiting the walks like he does, you're still an elite arm. There's really nothing around that. But, Are we worried? Are we thinking that he's just going to finally settle back into this maybe 9.5 K per nine, and that the 2017 campaign is maybe just an outlier for what his true talent is going forward?
Yeah, I mean, I think it stands to reason that last year was an outlier. Just most pitchers don't top 11 Ks per nine. That's a absurdly high numbers. And to your point before, that wasn't a level that he had sustained prior to that. I mean, he had top 10 in 2014. He's kind of flirted in that 9.5 to 10 range. I would guess when it all said and done, like around 10 strikeouts per nine is probably where he'll land. Kluber is getting older now. He's 32 years old, which is kind of older than I think a lot of people picture him being, because he's, I don't know, like, I feel like he's still, even though he's been around the league for a while, he wasn't considered to be a super, super elite prospect and kind of blossomed into this ultra elite arm in 2014. But the thing I really love about Kluber, frankly, more than almost anything else about him, is just his durability. The guy's top 200 innings in four straight years. He's averaging more than 7 innings to start this year. That's really uncommon, especially early in the season. And in a game where he also has a really high money line, that builds in twofold safety, right? So first of all, you expect that he'll hit around 7 innings. And if he's out there for 7 innings with a team with such a high money line, that he'll probably be the guy who secures the win as well, if it goes as predicted. And going up against Erasmo Ramirez and the Mariners seems like it's just a, kind of a dream spot for him here.
Yeah, I like him a little bit better on FanDuel than DraftKings. The 11-2 price, he's right around 13,000 on DraftKings. And that, you are starting to really push it there.
Seems a little rich.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you need to be. I would say the matchup just needs to be a little bit better. Seattle is not a great team, but there are enough bats in the middle of that lineup between Cano, Cruz, Seager to some degree. And they've even added guys like D. Gordon, who's not a great hitter, but will cause you problems. Segura at the top. Like, their top five is not bum hunting through a lineup. So I think that, like, I think mostly that while the money line is there because Cleveland's a better team than Seattle, the run line is probably just not low enough for him at the 13,000 price point, right? That's mostly right. What I mean. Like, I think at 11-2 on FanDuel, considering how soft their pricing is, just like throughout the bats, you're not really worried about getting some value with some bats like further on down the line. So I'm not worried about there. I am a little bit worried about having to pay 13,000, which is 12.9 on DraftKings, and then having to pair him with another arm. And there are some other good arms here. And I'm worried a little bit that I might be giving away too much EV. I'm not sure. It's going to be close because there are, mostly just because there are some other names here. One of them, obviously, you mentioned DeGrom before. DeGrom does have that kind of matchup here against San Diego. He's not as big a favorite. You mentioned that his Ks are up. He's got a better, like I said, San Diego is just a better matchup here for the Mets than, and he gets a pitch in Petco. He's a -160 favorite with a 7 over under. Is it he a possible just pivot to Kluber? I mean, is he maybe just a better play than Kluber? I don't know. His strikeouts are up over 11 per 9 so far this year.
Yeah, I mean, a few things that you can't really debate about DeGrom here. He has a better matchup. His numbers are better this season. It's a better park, right? So all of those, like, and I mean, by a matchup, I mean the actual batters he'll face. I'm not talking about the money line there. Really, the edge that Kluber has is just that he'll probably go deeper into the game, and that Erasmo Ramirez is so bad that it's giving the Indians, you know, making them tremendous favorites. In terms of the actual performance pitching on the mound, and, you know, you could argue there's less variance around whether someone will get the win or not. So, there's more variance as to whether someone will get the win or not. So I think if you take DeGrom's baseline, he's arguably safer than Kluber here. I think both are really good options, and I wouldn't be able to confidently look in the mirror and say, yeah, this guy or that guy will score more fantasy points tonight. So when it's a situation like that, I actually don't feel super excited because I'd rather just have it be more clear cut. I will say with DeGrom, our system likes him better on a points per dollar basis, but Kluber just fits in there because that extra $600 you can save right now don't make a big enough difference to really matter. So it's just kind of taking the raw points of Kluber and going from there.
And I actually think we were a little, in looking at some of our back end assumptions, I think that we were probably a little high on Kluber's Ks too. And I think that actually, if that's the case, because it was already sort of close between him and DeGrom.
DeGrom is tied for the 8th overall lineup right now. We have 3 lineups, 8, 9, and 10, all have the exact same points projection. That's why.
And I have a feel like I have a feeling that once this next update comes through, that's going to change and maybe flip toward DeGrom. So definitely close. Again, he's 600 cheaper on FanDuel, and he's 500 cheaper on DraftKings. And sometimes that extra $600 or $500 just makes a difference for the rest
of
your
usually
lineup.
It usually does, yeah.
So now we're talking about pairing these guys, one of these two guys, maybe on DraftKings, or are we just interested in going – because specifically on DraftKings, you can go $1,600 savings down to Strasburg. Ks are right in line with his career numbers, a little bit lower. So he's been at a 10.5 K per nine guy for his career. He's down to 9.7 this year. The walks are a tick lower than what he's done for his career, which is a good sign. XFIP at 3.21. Not as big of a favorite and not as good of a matchup here, though. Arizona down the bottom of their lineup really has problems. They're a very top-heavy lineup with Goldschmidt up the top and Peralta and guys and Pollock and guys like that. Once you get through that top four, things fall off a pretty big cliff for them. He's a minus 150 favorite with a nice run line at only seven, so right around low threes implied runs for the Diamondbacks. Is he just like a straight-up total pivot? Like, would you feel comfortable saving $1,600 or so on DraftKings and just maybe fading both Kluber and DeGrom, going Strasburg with maybe another arm that we're going to talk about and spending up for bats? Like, are his numbers and matchup good enough to consider a move like that?
Oh, yeah, I love that move on DraftKings right now. DraftKings, you know, having to play two pitchers, it makes the bats, you know, it makes the money that we have to spend on bats more scarce. And so if you can go down and still get a super high-quality arm like Strasburg, that's often the correct thing to do. Really outside of, like, the super-duper elite arms that are simply... And when they're in great matchups, like, you just don't always need to spend $13,000 on pitching on DraftKings to get by. So, yeah, I like Strasburg in that lower tier. If you can pair him with one of Kluber or DeGrom, that sounds pretty good to me. I also wouldn't mind, I mean, if you're just looking just at straight up money lines and implied totals from Vegas, another guy that probably a lot of people wouldn't expect to have such a good spot is Aaron Nola. I mean, Strasburg right now, the Arizona-Washington game has a 7 total, and Washington is favored as a minus 147 favorite. The Phillies against the Braves, it's a 7.5 total, and the Phillies are a minus 154 favorite. So it's almost the same projected runs allowed. And that's pretty enticing, because with Nola, you're talking about some really serious savings. Granted, he's not been very good this season. So,
well, that was my question, because he was next on my list, and I wanted to ask you about him. Because he is, you know, you mentioned he's not been very good. Now, ERA will make you think that he has 2.3 ERA, but the XFIP is closer to 4, which is up and over. But I'm looking at it. He's pitched 31 innings right here, and the strikeouts just haven't been there. Like, he was a 10 strikeout per 9, well, let's say 9.5 for his career. But I'm kind of washing away the rookie year, because, guys, it's just, that's an adjustment period. So the last two seasons is really unlocked 9.8 strikeouts per 9. And now this year, below 7. And some of it maybe has been matchup. I think he's faced the Braves already once or twice, and he gets them again today. This is not a team that strikes out a lot, and they just
He's faced the Braves twice, and he didn't strike them out either time. He went 6 innings, 2 Ks against them on the 16th, and then on opening day he went 5 1/3 innings, which is 3 strikeouts. So that could be a matchup issue. I mean, certainly it's an argument against playing him, given that his strikeouts have been fine in all his other starts and just very bad against the Braves. Like, I don't know. Yeah, maybe
the Braves have gotten a little better here. They brought up Acuna, who is like the best prospect, basically the best prospect in baseball. He's hitting 6th in the lineup now. And he's a rookie, and the rookies are going to strike out, and he's a power bat too. So it's not like you're getting, I mean, you could get, it's like increased variance around that spot probably. Like, going from Acuna, like, I don't know, whoever that was, Dansby Swanson or whoever, to Acuna. I know that's not who it was. I can't remember.
Yeah, Swanson played too. Right. I don't remember either. But yeah, so, Acuna Matata, dude. That's what I always say. So no worries. Like, playing Nola anyways.
I get a little, I mean, because Nola's a guy, I'm just going to be honest about this. We played Nola every single time on DraftKings, been out there, because he's been cheap and we have him projected as being around a strikeout per nine guy. And when you have when you have an $8,000 or so pitcher projected, so now he's 9.3, he's a little bit more expensive today. But even when you have a guy of less than 10,000 projected for a strikeout an inning with limited walks, as long as the money line and the matchup are just a little bit in your favor, this is a guy that we're going to probably want to roster. But are we, I mean, how much do we want to start downgrading him on this early season K stuff? Or is it just because you think the matchup, like the two games against Atlanta have been the outliers and the rest of the time he's been pretty decent? Like, I'm again, more reactionary to this stuff than you are, which is usually better on your side in baseball than it is for me. But I mean, do we want to be reactionary to the early season gains, or just say, look, no, he's a strikeout per inning guy. He's been that for his career. And if we're going to kind of set it here and go down with the ship if it's not correct. But
here's the argument. The guy's 24 years old. Okay. So he's really, really young. He hasn't lost his stuff. He's not injured. He's coming off his best start of the season, going 7 innings with 9 Ks against Pittsburgh. He's the same pitcher. Now, if Atlanta truly is this team that simply will never strike out, I guess that's another story. I don't really see them that way. I think that Nola coming in here, he's probably just too cheap. I also think it's worth, you know, turning to Vegas for their opinion on this. I mean, they obviously, as of right now, I don't see any props for how many strikeouts Nola rates to get here. But one thing that we know is that they don't picture him giving up that many runs in this start. And if they thought he was a true talent, 7 Ks per 9 guy, they would picture him giving up a lot more runs than what's implied here right now. So I think I'm comfortable rolling with Nola here. I don't I think we want to panic too much on the basis of really the strikeouts get screwed up by the one start against Atlanta where he went six innings with two Ks. This early, given that that's a fifth of his innings total so far, that really does have a very detrimental effect on everything. I went back to last season's game log, keep striking at the Braves just fine, understanding that they have some new faces there and stuff. But yeah, overall, I think getting too crazy this early in the season, it's not even May yet, I don't think we want to be reactionary just yet.
I have two more guys that I want to bring up here because I think there are just a lot of interesting questions at the pitcher spot today. One is Marcus Stroman. So Stroman, right now, if you actually, when I re-ran some of our lineups, Stroman is actually coming in as a DraftKings starting pitcher two slot on that site. His ERA is awful, 8.55, but the xFIP is about four runs lower right now, three and a half runs lower at 3.95. Four and a half runs, doing the bad math there. It's just too many runs. You usually don't see this kind of spread between ERA. Sorry, it kind of threw me off. Between ERA and xFIP. Stroman, for his career, has been an extreme ground ball pitcher, and he's gotten by on being able to strike guys out at times, but for the most part, like a 60% ground ball rate for his career is beyond elite. I mean, this is a number that you simply don't see a lot of pitchers post. But this year, the ground balls are up, the Ks are up, but the walks are up too. So he's pitched only 20 innings, 9.5 Ks per nine, over 6 walk rate. The ERA is garbage, but this is a guy, there's pedigree here. He's a real arm. He is a favorite, and he's coming so cheap on DraftKings, $6,700 for a guy that we have, I would say, a large enough sample size to generally know what we're going to get with him. Is this the kind of savings we're looking for? Because $6,700, you're getting into borderline free territory for a guy like him as a money line favorite, even like not in the best matchup against Toronto. What do we want to make of Stroman's early season gains? And is this a guy we'd be willing to maybe throw out some of the early stuff and just say, this is just a good deal for a guy that we kind of know a lot about?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not sure if you said gains there or early season games. I haven't seen any gains here at all. The strikeouts are obviously somewhat up. Those are mostly up on a per inning basis, not on a percentage basis, because he just allowed so many damn base runners that, of course, he's going to strike people out eventually. I mean, in these first games, he walked 3, 5, 2, and 4 and never pitched more than 5 1/3 innings. That is utterly horrendous. He just can't find the strike zone whatsoever. He's allowed 4, 5, 4, and 6 earned runs in that time period. The one argument in his favor has been he's had an absolutely brutal schedule. He's faced New York, Great Hitters Park at the Rogers Center, at Texas, at Cleveland, at New York. Like, that's pretty damn rough for a guy who doesn't really have great strikeout stuff. So I understand the context around why Stroman's not been great. Stroman's still quite young, at just 26 years old. I would say that I'll say two things here. The price is cheap enough to where I still want to consider him. And I'm not a big fan of Stroman's in general, just because for DFS purposes, he's a little bit too reliant on the double play and the ground ball for me. Like 7.3 Ks per nine, which is probably his true talent, is just pretty lousy. Again, at 6,700, like, you'll deal with it, but that's just not very good overall. And when you're a ground ball pitcher, that can lead to higher BABIP. Higher BABIP can lead to more variance around your performances, and, you know, that's not always where I want to be for cash games either. So yeah, I think Stroman's, he's probably playable. I wouldn't cross him off, and I'm not so concerned about the walks in the long run, but yeah, I'm definitely, he's not a guy that really tickles my fancy in general.
And the other guy I was gonna bring up was Darvish, but forget it, because I just realized he's on the early game. So we'll talk about Darvish next time he plays. But that was
a lot of pitching, buddy. People have a full platter, a buffet of pitching to choose from.
There's a lot of interesting guys today. I mean, honestly, the questions around these early season questions around Nolan and Stroman alone, I think, are just worth taking extra hard looks at, like, what you think you're going to get. Because if you trust your, like, Stroman's not a guy, like, I know for a fact in our system, we're not putting him down as like a strikeout per inning guy. He's set in that low sevens range, right? Like, so it's not, we're not, No adjustments have been made on his projection at all to start the season, and he's coming into the play. So I think that this is going to be, and like I said, after yesterday's pitching performances, I get a little bit gun-shy sometimes on when it's going to take, when we're going to go out on a limb with certain guys. And this is actually following my wild confidence following John Gray's start in Coors, where we rostered him in cash. So I was like, went into yesterday feeling, I could have done anything. I could have lifted 1,000 pounds. I was so confident in every single thing that was happening. Then Ben Lively just shot that to hell. So anyway, just these pitching guys, it's just early in the season. It's so interesting to try to figure out what is the true measure of what they're going to be for the rest of the season. And it's really just a season long struggle. Hit us up with a sponsor, and then we'll get to some of these bats.
Let's talk about nohalftime.com. No Halftime's FantasyBaseball.com is a great place to go and play a totally different kind of fantasy sports contest. So what they do is they don't run the traditional salary cap games that you're used to. They allow you to make one-on-one daily fantasy sports challenges where you just simply pick one player that you like, and then you pick a guy you think your guy's going to outperform. You issue your challenge to the world for any amount of money, and if people accept it, it's game on, and if not, no sweat, you get your money refunded. You can also cruise through No Half Times, really easy to use app, and find other matchups that people have issued as well. So suggest you check them out, nohalftime.com. Use promo code DFSR and you'll get a 50% bonus up to $50 on your first deposit.
Do you think No Halftime would allow me to put up a challenge, Chris Tillman versus like some eighth grader who's going to take the mound for a major league team? Like he's going to go out and, or she is going to go out and pitch for a major league team. That's going to be, I don't know, I'll pick a team. That's going to be the Rangers guy today. Do you think they would allow me to take anybody else in the world over Chris Tillman, like in this situation? Like, because I think we're in a situation here where he either has some kind of what's the Russian thing when you get like dirt on somebody? I can't think. It's like Klavan Prot or something like that. Whatever. He has some kind of dirt. He has dirt on. I'm gonna look up the word. He has dirt on someone like in the Orioles organization that allows him to walk out onto the mound every five days and pitch. Like this guy is the worst pitcher ever. Like and he's, how is he a favorite today? Like what am I missing here? I'm so confused by what the hell is happening here. Not only how he's still allowed to pitch and how he's a favorite today. I mean, are we just, is it just like full on go against Chris Tillman day, just considering how just utterly, utterly, utterly awful he's been?
Well, here's a stat for you, Doug. And this one might shock you. So I hope you're sitting down. You have to go down. There's no player on FanDuel, no position player that's more expensive than $2,200 that has scored fewer fantasy points per game than Chris Tillman this year. So that's pretty good.
Oh my God.
So you're basically getting down to like the Jeff Mathis, like Rob Refsnyder, like guys like that. If you want to go lower than Chris Tillman. So
how is
congrats everyone.
Like how is
Don't
Detroit,
ask me, dude.
Like Michael Fears, I was expecting Fears to be, have been awful. Like he's not good. He's 4.7 XFIP, like strikes out five and a half per nine. Chris Tillman, so just shield your eyes, cover your ears here. If like you,
I guess I'll just take both sides of this. Yeah, I mean it's crazy, but yeah, go ahead.
Tillman has 4 strikeouts per nine. Okay, so that's as bad as you're ever gonna say.
That's low. Yeah, that's really low. That's like Mike Pelfrey territory. But I assume he's probably got good command. If he's
gonna... 5.7 walks per nine.
Whoa. Okay.
So all right. He has a 9.87 ERA on the season, which now to his credit,
more runs allowed than innings pitched. Okay,
to his credit. The XFIP is 3.5 runs lower at only 6.5.
Oh, so unlucky. You think he's just coming in? He's like, dude, I'm getting killed on my left on base percentage. What's with this BABIP, right, guys?
He's like, could I be running worse on BABIP right now? This is unbelievable. 3.85 BABIP. Like, this guy is the worst. I can't keep saying it over and over again. He's allowing 21% of his fly balls are turning into home runs.
You'd like to be like, oh man, that sounds like kind of unlucky, because for most pitchers it would be, except for him, it's 2 seasons in a row. Last year he pulled 93 innings of this crap where he allowed 20% of his fly balls to turn into home runs. Last year, 2.3 home runs per nine, worst in the majors if he qualified. This year, 2.6. This guy is just incredible. And really, like, incredible in terms of, like I don't believe it. Like, I don't believe he's going to continue to take them out. But 42. Here we are, man. So I'll be playing some Tigers for show. That sounds real nice to me.
42% hard contact rate. It's just all, there's not one number you could point to where this guy is just not the absolute worst. Now, again, they are slight favorites somehow. Maybe, you know, it must be, it's coming in partly on the Baltimore side of the bats, right? I think they're just trusting that Baltimore is a slightly better offensive team. Though Detroit's just shown like some, not necessarily pop, but like Martin at the top of the lineup getting a little expensive. Candelario getting a little expensive. They still have Miggy, who's been fine. The bottom of the lineup is pretty bad. But Tillman is just a guy you just need to, you just need to stack against them. There's no other way to put it. So I think we can start by just saying Detroit bats fully in play, and I'm still actually not even totally trusting the 4.5 implied runs. That feels low considering Baltimore is something of a pitcher's park, or excuse me, a hitter's park, and the weather is not going to be as terrible. A little bit of a wind blowing in. I'm not so worried about that. After him, though, where else do you think we want to go for stacking? There are some, you know, no one's a bigger bum than Tillman on this slate, but there are some other bad pitchers. Where else do you think we could see ourselves stacking for Friday?
Yeah, I mean, we already talked about Erasmo Ramirez just in terms of him helping Kluber have a good matchup. I don't see any reason not to just play Indians bats too. Ramirez only one start this season, but he got only 3 swings and misses. Hat tip to Austin Varney, our picks writer, for pointing out that stat. 3 swings and misses through 4.2 thirds innings, 4.2 thirds, 4 2/3 innings is just horrendous. The guy's not missing bats at all. He wound up with just as many strikeouts as he did walks, which was just one. He gave up a ton of runs. The xFIP was over 5. Again, it's just one start. We don't want to get too carried away, but this guy's never been any great shakes. He has one season where he posted an xFIP under 4, so he's just kind of average in general, looking even worse than that this season. You know, he was already dealing with some injury stuff, and if he's going to be a little bit under the weather, and a little bit banged up, I think it's just a great spot to stack some Indians, maybe get into that Seattle bullpen early and just kind of put up some numbers here.
Yeah, other guys, you know, the only problem with Indians and maybe, and to some degree, the Detroit guys I mentioned is like the price. We're going to run into some pricing problems. Now, luckily, I don't think for cash game purposes, I think you can, this is one of those days you can easily just spread out some of your ownership to a bunch of different teams. This is not obviously the way you should go in GPP. You want to full on stack some of these games and just kind of really shoot the moon on the upside. But this does strike me, you know, it's interesting how this shakes out sometimes. You know, on a short slate yesterday, it ends up basically just being like a royal stack for us because the price and the matchup just makes sense and there's just not that many options to pick from. Today's not the case. Like if you run lineups on our site, you are getting a mix of you know, some Baltimore bats here, some Detroit bats there. Another team that's coming up kind of high here, mostly because of their price, and if we're going to pay up for the DeGroms and Klubers of the world. I think the Royals are still in a good spot against Ronaldo Lopez. The park is not doing them any huge favors, but Lopez has spiked the strikeouts a little bit here, but he's also just walking everybody. He has a 1.5 ERA. Some people will look at that and say he's, I don't know, getting by. That's only because, of a 91% strand rate. So if you think he's just going to keep letting 9% of his guys, only 9% of his base runners score going forward, that is not going to last.
That sounds like a you problem. Yeah, there's no right. way that's going to happen.
XFIP was up over 5 for the second season in a row at limited innings last year, but it's not like He's not necessarily running bad here at all. 1.175 BABIP. Ronaldo Lopez is bad.
He's a bad pitcher. I mean, he was bad with the Nats in 2016. He's just been bad every year, basically. So I don't expect that to change here.
You don't get crazy great pop and power from the Royals lineup. Like, John Jay will never hit a home run, so forget about that. The guy actually doesn't really do much except for hit singles. Coming kind of cheap at 2.9 on DraftKings, though. So if you're getting a leadoff hitter against a guy like Lopez, I think you're fine. Moustakas does have some power. Duda has some power. And these guys, mostly I'm just looking that they're coming cheaper than some of the other teams we mentioned. Duda only 2,400. His price is just kind of locked into that range on FanDuel. He's been this way for a week and a half now. As a nice value play, as long as they're going to play bad pitchers. Whit Merrifield at 3,300. So I think you are getting you're getting some nice. Mostly, I'm just looking that they're facing a bad pitcher and they're coming pretty cheap is where I'm kind of landing on some of the Royals. Anyone else that we want to take a look at before we get out of here?
Yeah, I think there's a couple other teams that are just worth a mention here. The Dodgers have Derek Holland right now. Holland actually been better peripherally this season than he was the last few years. And he's almost hearkening back to like his really early season career when he was posting pretty reasonable strikeout numbers. But I guess I'm going to take the last 4 years of Holland's body of work rather than the couple years before that and just assume that he'll probably be the below average pitcher that he was, you know, the last several years. And really the thing about Holland always has been just the upside that he affords opposite teams. So not that you need to stack against him for cash games, but last year averaging more than 2 home runs allowed per 9 innings, 5 walks per 9. That's just a guy who can give up big as hell innings. And, you know, going up against the Dodgers today, he'll be outside of the super friendly San Francisco park. So that's definitely an upgrade for the hitters there. This season, like I said, the strikeouts have been up over 9, but still walking a lot of guys. And the 1.66 home runs leads me to believe that the home runs will always be an issue. And, you know, he's allowing more fly balls than ever and allowing just as many of them as ever to go out of the park. So I think he's very stackable for your big tournament purposes, or the Dodgers are against him, rather. So I'd like that part. And then the other one that the system is kind of keying in on are the Twins. They're going up against Luis Castillo. And, you know, he's kind of a weird one because he does have legitimate strikeout stuff. Again, not a big recommendation I'd make for cash game purposes. But for Castillo, after his rookie season there, the Ks are down by 2 Ks per 9. The walks are up. The home runs per 9 are up as well. And the ground balls, there haven't been as many ground balls. And he never really was a huge ground ball pitcher in the minors. So it stands to reason that this is kind of who he is. So, yeah, I think you can stack some Twins here too.
One question before we get out of here. I do have a question about a money line that is, or excuse me, an implied run line that looks kind of high. And I have a question about it, like sort of in the same way that I had the question about Tillman, but going the other direction. And that's the Blue Jays against Mike Minor. So the Blue Jays right now, we have them for around 4.8 implied runs, which is getting on the higher side for this slate. Not seeing many teams, really no team over 5, I don't think, in our system right now. So 4.7 looking higher. They have a full complement of righty bats against Mike Minor. And yet Mike Minor's been pretty good. Like Mike Minor for the last two seasons, because I was kind of expecting, I was like, Mike Minor's just one of these guys that kind of there's always guys, like baseball's got so many guys that sometimes I just get a little confused, but like this is right. gonna sound bad, but like who's good and who's bad. And that's gonna make it sound like I don't know what I'm talking about and whatever. But but like there are some guys that exist in this. Is Mike Minor good? Like, I kind of need to reacquaint myself with him each time that he pitches because I just simply can't remember. And he's been pretty good over there. Last year was all out of the bullpen, so those numbers need to be taken with a grain of salt. It's much easier to pitch out of the bullpen. So you kind of look at those strikeout numbers and say, well, he was in plus EV matchups every single time.
Yeah, don't worry about that. Right. Also, he was doing a lot of that just coming in and going up against lefties only. So just throw away last season's numbers.
Okay, but for his career, even if you look back, he was like in 2013, 8K per nine, dealt with some injury issues, kept the walks low. This year he's up to 8.5 Ks per nine in starts, averaging over 5 innings a start, 2.5 walks, not bad. XFIP is like in the 4.5 range. Are we trusting the higher implied run line for the basically full righty lineup of the Blue Jays here in a good hitter's park?
Yeah, I mean, Minor's a funny one, right? Because he was a real prospect coming up. A lot of people thought he would slot in as like a number two starter in the long term. And he looked like he was shaping into that, in those early 2010s. And then basically just struggled with injury issues from 2014 on. You know, he pitched his highest total in 2013, 204 innings. Since then, he's never topped more than 145 innings in a season. And the effectiveness hasn't been there either. So if this is him finally being healthy, we could definitely see him go back to being an 8.5 strikeout per nine, two-ish walk per nine guy. And in that case, you don't want to be stacking against him. Now, a couple of things going against him here, obviously, are a really good opposing lineup and a really bad pitcher's park. So I think for that reason, I wouldn't want to get too carried away. Also, if you just look at the sheer innings pitched, you know, Vegas assumes that he's only going to pitch 55% of the innings in this game or something. So, you know, again, we don't want to go too crazy worrying about, you know, his impact and that he's not a super dynamite pitcher. And his impact will probably be limited over five or so innings anyway. So I think taking those factors combined, I tend to just trust the run line here. But, you know, as the season progresses, if Minor continues to do this, he is a guy that I will move the needle on pretty quickly because the pedigree is somewhat there. And last year we saw him pitch effectively, even if it was at the bullpen. But one thing I do want to caution you against last year's numbers, Doug, wins, losses, and saves last year, 666.
Something to think about. Foreboding note.
I didn't want to go there, but I just it's worth thinking about.
Well, give the devil his due, and dfsr.com/MLB is the site to go check out. That will give you a free 3-day trial to our projection system powered by our good friends over at Lineup Lab, optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings. MLB, NBA, while the playoffs still roll along here, NFL when the time comes too. So go check that out, free for 3 days, and then just $29.95 a month, dfsr.com/MLB. Buddy, enjoy your Friday baseball, all the good pitchers and all the bad ones too.
All right, man. Peace.